You've been welcomed many times, but welcome again. Events like this, it's something devotees look forward to for a lot of reasons. One of them is seeing devotees that you haven't seen in a long, long time, and you have an opportunity to get together with friends and others. But I happen to know that there's some devotees here who have never been here. This is their first time. So I'm encouraging, in addition to seeing the nice friends that you haven't seen for a long time, look around and see people that you've never seen before and extend Vaishnava hospitality to them so they feel, oh, these are warm and accepting devotees. Just a little sharing. Some years ago, keep it short, Ajita Prabhu at Illinois Institute of Technology conducted an apprentice program. Is that what it's called? Nityananda, what's it called? Marketing incentive. In any case, because there's so many international students, 70-something like that percent of the student population at Illinois Institute of Technology are foreign students, they require, it's a requirement, that they must volunteer for 30 hours in one semester to do some volunteer work, to learn not just the ivory tower thing, but how it really plays out in the real world. So, knowing that that exists, Ajita put in an application with the marketing department to market Krishna consciousness. And when the marketing chairman looked at it, he said, well, this is very novel. I'll accept this on the basis, on the grounds that you don't do any proselytizing, you just help them understand marketing. Yeah, no problem. And he kept his word. We have a website, we have a store, we have a program, we have a this, and we have a Krishna lunch, and we have lots of things that we need marketing. So some number of students signed up. A number of them were Chinese students. And at the end of the semester, they had to make a presentation to the marketing chairman what they did. They invited me to attend a meeting, just to keep it short. Each of them said the same thing, in their own way. But when I first found out this is a religion, I thought, oh my God. I went back to the department head and said, I want to change. He said, well, try it out. They promised they won't do any, it's just marketing. Try it. If you're not comfortable, then. So they all continued, at least the ones that spoke. And then they said, when we came the first few times, we saw, wow, there's a lot of different people from different backgrounds. Of course, there's a lot of non-resident Indian people here, but different people from different backgrounds. And they all seem to mix together and accept one another and have friendly exchanges with one another. That was their first impression. And then the next was, and they accepted us in the same way. So we started to feel comfortable, and we did our marketing thing, and then they described their marketing thing and said, one thing I've learned from all of this is I need a value beyond money. And the final one said, let's be really honest, everybody from China is one thing, money. Why are we here? Get an education, to get a career, to get money. But I also, like all the others, I understand I need a value, and I'm not sure what it is yet, because you kept your word. You didn't do any proselytizing. And I'm searching for that value beyond get money. Materialism. So, there's the opportunity here to spend time with people that we know and haven't seen for some time, and there's the opportunity to make others feel welcome. This is a Vaishnava encouragement kind of announcement. So, this morning, the advent of Nama Sankirtan is our focus, and there will be multiple parts to it. I hope you are ready to have a long class because it's going to be a little entertaining, musical, and so forth. So it's not just speaking, but that means it's going to take a little longer. I hope that's okay. It's the first class of our event, so you probably won't get restless. And we'll start with a nice song, which you'll see on the screen in a moment. A song by Narottam Das Thakur, where he is describing Lord Chaitanya giving this Nam Sankirtan and regretting that he has neglected Radha Krishna, and feels his deep humility and remorse for wasting his life drinking poison instead of nectar. But this is the start of the advent of the holy name.
Golokera prema dhana नाम संकीर्तना गोलोके राके मादना हरि नाम संकीर्तना रतिना जन्मी लोके ज्वाले संसार विषाणले
Thank you.
janama gonanu hari hari vipale hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
I don't know what happened, but somehow something got mixed up. So I'll just read the translation. Narottam Das Thakur sings, O Lord Hari, I've spent my life uselessly, having obtained a human birth, and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. Oh, there it is. Okay, there it is. The treasure of divine love in Goloka, Vrindavan, has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night, my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. Lord Krishna, who is the son of the king of Vraja, became the son of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram became Nittai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. Two sinners, Jaghai and Madhai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Rishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except you? Very famous and loved song amongst many of Narottam Das Thakur, loved by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And within this song is this well-known phrase, often quoted phrase, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. So here's Goloka. And from Goloka, Prema Dhana. This Harinam Sankirtan gives Prema Dhana. It's descended from the spiritual world into this region here. And in the darkness of the material creation, a great fortune has come, the advent of Harinam Sankirtan into this world. And of course, we, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, appreciate that he was the deliverer of that Harinam Sankirtan, that the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it was understood, I'm going to share with you another song, that comes from another one of the disciplic successions. Some of us traveled in South India some time ago during a yatra in South India. And one of the places that we visited in South India was the temple of one of the Alvars, Nam Alvar, who wrote 1,000, we didn't write, he spoke 1,000 songs, 10 of which are specifically glorifying Nam Sankirtan. And this phrase on the right side is same as Lord Chaitanya's mood. Raise your hands and chant from your heart. Very enthusiastic devotional expression. This is the front entrance of the temple, very humble entrance. The Adinath temple in Tirunagari, locally known as Tirukurugur. And just 43 years after Krishna's departure is when he appeared. So after Krishna's departure marks the beginning of Kali Yuga. Just at the very cusp, the beginning of Kali Yuga, Nam Alvar appeared. This is a deity. There's some history behind the deity. Came directly from the river after his, just on the eve of his departure, some details. But in any case, in the temple is this deity or murti of Nam Alvar. He was born of a local family, and interestingly, when he was born, and in his childhood, he didn't cry. Not only he didn't cry, but he didn't make any sound. Not only he didn't make any sound, but he didn't open his eyes. And this went on, imagine those of you that are parents, this went on for 11 months. It appeared that the child was blind, deaf, and dumb. They were in big anxiety. No doctors had any sense of why. They were Vaishnavas, so they went to the temple and placed the deity just before, placed the child before the deity, and the child opened his eyes and smiled. And then they took the child home and he closed his eyes and didn't respond to any sound. This happened several times. So finally they understood that this is a special child. He wants to be with the deity. And so they left the child in front of the deity when he was around 1 year old. And then the 1 year old child crawled to this, now it's really old, tamarind tree that was in the temple. And he spent the next 15 years, still he was 16, he didn't eat. I mean, besides he didn't speak, he didn't open his eyes, he didn't eat. You know any child that doesn't do any of those things? He didn't eat for 16 years, but his body continued to grow. Didn't respond to any sound, didn't make any sound, didn't open his eyes. So the local people understood he's extraordinary. And they gave him this name, Maran, one who doesn't change. There's a plan in all of this, Krishna plan. So the plan of Krishna was another local resident of that village named Madhura Kavi, who later also became one of the Alvars in the Sri Sampradaya. He was searching for a guru. He had gone all the way from South India to Badrinath searching for a guru. And at night he saw a light in the sky. And a sound came from the direction of that light in the sky. Just follow me. and that will lead you to the guru you're looking for. Pretty mystical. So he followed the light. And the light brought him right back to Namalvar's tamarind tree. The picture shows it was within, he stayed within the hollow of this tree. And so a question was asked by the searching disciple. The question reads, of course it was in Tamil, within the womb of the dead, a subtle being may be born. What does it eat? And where does it rest? So the first word spoken by Namalvar at 16 was that it will eat, it will rest. What? So Madhura Kavi understood the meaning, which is if the soul identifies with the body, it will be implicated by the body. If it identifies with the service to Krishna, it will stay in Vaikuntha and eat or think of Krishna. The eating has to do with your thoughts. It nourishes your being. And where your attention of the mind and your thinking power goes, that's where you will go. That will be your situation or your residence. So Madhura Kavi, for the next 16 years, stayed constantly by the side of his guru, Namalvar. And from time to time, they didn't have MP3 recorders, but he would speak something. He would speak songs or poems. And Madhura Kavi recorded or wrote down those songs or those poems. And in the course of the next 16 years, 1,000 songs were composed. Madhura Kavi being the scribe, Namalvar being the actual composer of those songs. This deity came about when the local people who became his followers understood he was going to leave. They asked him to leave behind a murti that they could worship. He told them, go to the river and gather the silt from the bottom of the river and you'll find a murti. But the murti, the first one, was Ramanujacharya, who hadn't appeared yet in his likeness. And they said, this isn't you. He said, he'll come later. Go again and do it again. They did it again and came the murti of Namalvar. So a few thousand years passed. 3,000 years later, the grandfather of Yamunacharya named Nathamuni, he heard 10 songs of the 1,000 of Namalvar, which you're going to hear also shortly. This is the drum roll. He heard these 10 songs glorifying the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Nam Sankirtan specifically for this age of Kali. He became so intrigued, he asked the brahmanas who knew those 10, where's the others? And they gave the advice, you go to that tamarind tree under which Namalvar resided, recite those 10 prayers again and again, and it'll all be, the other 990 will reveal to you. So that's what he did. He went to the tamarind tree and 12,000 times he recited the verses that you're going to hear shortly, once. 12,000 times, and then the other 990 were all revealed, plus the other Alvars, 3,000 songs, Nath Muni then compiled them. And today in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they're very, very important. Like scripture, the foundation of their Sampradaya's teachings. And the chanting of the holy name, not only in our Sampradaya, also in the Sri Sampradaya, holds a very special position. The advent of the Yuga Dharma, Nam Sankirtan. So, here we go.
பூம் பொழில் பொய்கை முதலை சிறை பாட்டு நின்ற கை மாவு கருள் செய்த கார் முகில் போல் வண்ணன் கண்ணன் எம்மானை சொல்
Pray, tell, O people of the ocean-girdled earth, what good are they who cannot sing and dance in joy? The glories of the dark-hued Lord, who saved the elephant from the jaws of the crocodile in the lotus tank?
தங்கடல் பட்ட துள்ளாரை தமக்கிரையாய் தடிந்துண்டும் திங்கழற்கால சூரர்க்கு தீங்கிழைக்கும் திருமாலை பண்கள் தலை கொள்ள
praising the Lord who gives food to the mighty Asuras, fins who mince and eat mortals on earth, those who cannot sing on top throat and dance in ecstasy must forever suffer the throes of karmic birth.
எடுத்து கல்மாறி காத்து பசு நீரை தன்னை தொலைவு தவிர்த்த பிரானை சொல்லி சொல்லி நின்று போதும் தலையினோட
Those who do not dance and touch the earth with their heads, repeatedly uttering the praises of the Lord, who stopped a hailstorm with a mountain, must forever suffer stormy hell as their only retreat.
பபிள் கோதை போருட்டா மால்விட ஏழும் அடர்த்த செம்பவள திரள்வாயன் ஸ்ரீதரன் தொல் புகழ் பாடி கும்பிடு நட்டமிட்டாடி கோகு கட்டுண்டு உழலாதா Stop.
sing the praise of Sridhar of coral lips, who killed 7 bulls for the love of Nipaini. Dance with hands over your heads, dignity be blown, or else, what use is this birth, aimed saintly man?
சனத்தை நாளியும் கம்சனை சாதே பாதக்கு ஆதியம் ஜோதியுருவை அங்கு வைத்திங்கு பீரந்த வேத முதல்
The Lord of the Vedas left his radiant Vaikuntha and came as a mortal to protect the innocent from Kamsa's tyranny. Other than singing and dancing his praise through every street, what is there for scholars to learn? Are they men?
மனிசரும் மற்றும் முற்றுமாய் மாய பிறவி பிறந்த தனியன் பிறப்பிலி தன்னை தடங்கட சேர்ந்த பிரானை கனியை கரும்பினி சாற்றை கட்டியை தேனையாமுதை
The birthless lord who took birth reclines in the ocean, sweet as fruit and nectar, sweet as sugar and honey and or ambrosia. He's the living, the non-living and all else. Those who praise him with song and dance attain total knowledge.
நீர்மயில் நூற்றவர் வீய ஐவர் கருள் செய்து நின்று பார்மகு சேனைய வீத்த பரஞ்சுடரை நினைந்தாடி நீர்மகு கண்ணி
The radiant lord unleashed a terrible army over the unfair 100 and granted victory to the 5. Of what use are men in this good world who build up their biceps if they do not melt their hearts? Dance and sing and enjoy.
புனலந்தருவி வடதிருவேங்கடத்து எந்த பேர்பல சொல்லி பிதாற்றி பீத்தரன்றே பிறகூர ஊர் பல பூக்கும் புகாதும் உலகோஷிரிக்க நின்றாடி ஆர்வம் பெருகி குனிப்பார் அமரர் தொழப்படுவாரே.
Our Lord resides in Venkatam of cool water springs. Rain his name incessantly, be called a madman, roam through towns and hamlets, let the world mock at you, jump and dance in ecstasy, be worshipped by the celestials.
அமரர் தொழப்படுவானை அனைத்துலகுக்கும் பிரானை அமர மனத்தினுள் யோகு புணர்ந்து அவந்தன்னோடு ஒன்றாக அமர துணிய
The Lord worshipped by celestials is Lord of all creation. Those who reach him through yogic penance find him in their hearts always. For all others, dancing and singing his praise is the only karma.
கருமமும் கரும பலனும் ஆகிய காரணம் தன்னை திருமணி வண்ணனை செங்கள் மாலினை தேவ பிரானை ஒருமை மனத்தினுள் வைத்து உள்ளம் குழைந்து எழுந்தாடி
My Lord of gem hue and lotus eyes, the Lord of celestials, is the karmas, their fruit and their cause. Dance and sing with oneness of heart, melting inside you. Lose your pride and shame and rave his praise like mad.
பொலிக 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 போயிற்று வல்லுயே சாபம் நலியும் நரகமுனைந்த நாமனுக்கிங்கு யாதொன்றும் இல்லை கலியும் கேடும் கண்டு கொள்மின் கடல் வண்ணன் பூதங்கள் மண்மேல் மலிக புகு
Victory, victory, victory. I behold something wonderful. All the inauspiciousness of the living entities is destroyed. No one is going to hell. Yamaraja has no more work, and the effects of Kali Yuga cease to exist. This is because all over the world, an increasing number of Lord Vishnu's devotees sing his names while dancing and playing musical instruments. There will come a race which will tread the earth with raised hands and vertical tilaka on their foreheads. who will chant the names of Hari. This will destroy the influence of Kali.
For those of you that are not from India, thank you for staying awake. For those of you from South India, I'm sure you appreciated especially that outside of our Sampradaya, at the very beginning of Kali Yuga, these teachings of the Alvars are taken like scripture, like we take the writings of Narottam Das Thakur, etc. So it's the foundation and basis of Sri Vaishnav teachings. Ramanujacharya has those roots. And the prediction, the reason for all of this, it's on the theme of the advent of Nam Sankirtan. It was known at the very beginning of Kali Yuga, this would come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought Nam Sankirtan. It's not that before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, persons weren't chanting. Persons were chanting. But a movement, a Sankirtan movement spreading all over the world took place on the strength and power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and his indications, simply his statements, his utterances that this would happen, brought the advent of Nam Sankirtan. A very nice scriptural reference. This is a painting of Ramananda Roy when he was interacting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, discussing topics of Krishna together. Just before, the very verse before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his form of Radha and Krishna to Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy spoke this verse, "My dear Lord," the advent of Mahaprabhu, "you have descended into this, in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss, and at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead." This is right from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then in turn, Krishna Das Kaviraj, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, gives us same idea, just expanded a bit. The external and internal reasons for Mahaprabhu's appearance. One of them was to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name. Second external reason was the call of Advaita Acharya, very loudly calling for a form of the Lord to descend in this world and free the land from its ill effects of Kali Yuga. The third is Krishna's promise in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharma shaglanir bhavati bharat. That he would come for these purposes. And then there's the internal reason, as Krishna Das Kaviraj writes, expanding on Ramananda Roy's statement. These three reasons of tasting the happiness of Radharani in her relationship with Krishna, the love that she feels for Krishna, the qualities in Krishna that she experiences, how she experiences those qualities, their stimulations for ecstatic love. If you read Nectar of Devotion carefully, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for those external and internal reasons. Now, the advent of Nam Sankirtan, no surprise, it met with some resistance. And initially it met with resistance in Navadvip, where the congregational chanting began. But even before the congregational chanting of Mahaprabhu, there was the loud chanting of Haridas Thakur. And there's a beautiful description which I'll narrate very briefly. For those of you that don't know, Haridas Thakur was elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like the age of his father, like the age of Advaita Acharya. He was born a number of years before Mahaprabhu made his appearance. And he was not born in a good family. He wasn't born in a Hindu or a Vaishnava family. He was born in a Muslim family. But from his childhood, he spontaneously, lovingly, naturally, ecstatically chanted the holy name. He was regarded by those who saw this character and quality in him, not just the chanting part, but all of the other, his humility, his depth of knowledge of the scripture, far surpassing that of learned scholars of the scripture. He was an acharya in all senses of the term. So there's a pastime described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that comes after what we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a well-known passage where Ramchandra Khan was envious of the notoriety of Haridas. So he sent a prostitute to make him fall down, but instead she became a devotee, and Ramchandra Khan was frustrated. He left that place, and according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, one of the next places he went to was a place called Hari Nadi. And while in Hari Nadi, same thing happened. He chanted the holy name, and he didn't just chant the holy name silently, as was the practice of those brahmanas that knew mantras and chanted their mantras silently. He was chanting loudly in an assembly. So he was, Haridas was in an assembly of saintly persons and chanting loudly. And one brahmana, envious, by birth brahmana but not by qualification brahmana, confronted him and said, on what basis are you chanting loudly? Because there was this other view, you don't chant loudly, you chant silently within your mind. On what basis are you chanting loudly? And Haridas said, you and all the other learned scholars in the assembly here, you know very well, I can only say what I've heard from all of you, scholarly brahmanas. But since you've asked me, I'll just repeat what I've heard from all of you and from the scriptures, and particularly from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inauguration of the Sankirtan movement. Harinam was happening. Haridas Thakur was making it happen and meeting resistance. So he said, not only the chanting of the holy name is to be chanted loudly, but it gives 100 times more benefit than if you don't chant it loudly. And then he made two scriptural references that say this. One of the scriptural references that he made was from a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to Krishna delivering this Gandharva named Vidyadhara. So what happened was, the pastime describes, that Nanda Maharaj and the other elders were visiting a place some distance from Vrindavan, a place called Ambikavan by the bank of the river Saraswati. And in the evening they were doing some worship, taking vows and performing some rituals. And then they decided they would take rest there for the night. So as they were taking rest for the night, one humongous serpent crawled up and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So the cowherd men woke up, and as you see, they took sticks from the fire and were beating the serpent and beating the serpent and beating the serpent, and he just kept swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So what did Nanda Maharaj do? He called very loudly Krishna's holy name. And when you call very loudly Krishna's holy name, you don't have to call loudly, but if you call loudly, as Advaitacharya called loudly, he hears, and he came, and he placed his left foot on the head of the serpent, and then the Vidyadhara was released from the curse of becoming a serpent. And he spoke this verse. This is quoted by Haridas to the Brahmana. Anyone who chants your name purifies all who hear his chanting as well as himself. How much more beneficial then is the touch of your lotus feet? So the text mentions the name of this Vidyadhara named Sudarshan. So Haridas explains, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, one is to chant the holy name loudly. And anyone who hears that loud chanting is also benefited in addition to the person who's chanting. And then he made another scriptural reference, another painting, but in contrast you can't see. There's the Vidyadhara, Sudarshan, and Nanda Maharaj. So a reference of Prahlad Maharaj, found in the Naradiya Purana, where Prahlad Maharaj says specifically, one who loudly chants the holy names of the Lord is 100 times greater than one who silently chants, because those who chant silently purify only themselves, while those who chant loudly purify themselves as well as those who hear them. When we go publicly, of course it's nice to have kirtan in the temple room, and we'll be doing that. And when we go publicly and chant, but not even, what Haridas says to the Brahmana is, in the human form of life, there's a tongue that can chant. In other forms of life, their tongue can't so easily chant. In birds and beasts and insects. But if they hear the chanting of a pure devotee, then they also become a resident of Vaikuntha. They become eligible to become a resident of Vaikuntha just by hearing that chanting. Then he gives a very reasonable, logical explanation. Somebody may take care of their own eating. That's good. And if somebody takes care of their eating and the necessities of eating for thousands of others, that's even better. So similarly, if one can give such benefit to other living entities by loudly, audibly, loudly doesn't mean you have to shout, but audibly as opposed to silently, then others are going to get the benefit. That's the logic behind why it's 100 times more beneficial, exactly as Prahlad says. The Brahmana apparently had beans in his ears. He couldn't hear very well. He was covered by envy, so he couldn't hear properly. And as a result, he then continued to speak blasphemy to Haridas. Explicit. In this age of Kali, it is said that Shudras will become knowledgeable in the scripture. We know that there's 10 teachings of the Vedas. You're coming up with number 11. Who have heard this one? I mean, there was opposition due to envy and attachment to pride and the bodily conception of life. So don't be surprised when history repeats itself, because history repeats itself. Nonetheless, those who hear properly understand there are mantras that are meant to be chanted silently. There's an image of Gayatri Devi, who was manifest by Krishna's flute into the ear of Lord Brahma, who then manifest from his mouth the Gayatri Mantra. And the Gayatri Mantra then appears in Rig Veda, and other Gayatri Mantras are from Gayatri Devi, that original Gayatri Mantra. And they're to be chanted. There's rules. I won't go into, there's some Sanskrit rules that I don't understand so well. I just read them. There's particular rules having to do with mantras that are to be chanted silently. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not, it's a different case. It's a vocative case, not a dative case. It's technical. So therefore, the rule of silently doesn't apply. I'm bringing this up in part because it has to do with the advent of Nam Sankirtan. There were persons before Lord Chaitanya's time, during Lord Chaitanya's time, and today, who take exception to the congregational chanting of the holy name. And they have their reasons why they object, apparently. But there's ample scriptural evidence that in fact Lord Chaitanya chanted loudly during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was living in Puri. And from time to time, Bhaktisiddhanta would stay with him. There was a particular Babaji who presented opposite teaching. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not to be chanted loudly. Mahaprabhu, there's no scriptural evidence that it should be. There's no evidence that Mahaprabhu did, which is neither of those are true. And so he came up with another mantra that's good for chanting loudly. He wanted his own thing. People do that sometimes. Bhaktisiddhanta let him have it. And it got really intense, because this fellow, Babaji, had some followers. This is one of the deviated sampradayas that you read about. And it got so hot, the contention, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I think you should go to Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. The confrontation approach isn't getting a good result. So he went and took his rata of chanting. Mahaprabhu chanted loudly. The scripture says to chant loudly. Padma Purana is another specific reference which speaks of this with raised arms and with musical instruments, chanting loudly. And we perform our mantra meditation. Of course, we're in the temple room chanting japa together. We're mindful that there's somebody next to us and over there too. And so we don't chant so loudly. They can't hear anything but our chanting. But loudly in this case means audibly. So you're hearing the sound of Krishna's holy name. And that's part of Nam Sankirtan. The congregational chanting is done according to the instructions that we received. both externally. We have our musical instruments over there in the corner, and you may have some in your bag, and may travel sometimes. Devotees travel with their musical instruments. There's the external part of Nam Sankirtan. And then there's an internal part of Nam Sankirtan. Basically, it's two, your attentiveness. And the recommendation is complete. This evening we're going to have, I hope you all come and invite your friends for Nama Yajna. And it's wonderful. Our whole event is Festival of the Holy Name. And this evening I'm really looking forward to having us all have this experience of Nama Yajna. Attentiveness, complete attentiveness. That's an internal function. And then another is faith or attraction for the sound and the person who is none different than the sound, Krishna. And the process itself, not the musicality of it, but the sound vibration, the name, the Nama Sankirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, say, the opposite. Merely reciting the external syllables of the holy name does not mean that one is truly chanting the holy name. So we're all invited to do the external, making the sound vibration, and then there's the internal part of concentration and having faith and attraction, at least in course of time, through faith, attraction for the process. Krishna speaks of this in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Following this encouragement and recommendation of receiving Lord Chaitanya's gift, Nama Sankirtan, purification takes place. The other discussions will be how that purification takes place in the stages of evolving of bhakti. And it eventually takes one to the position of being in Krishna's eternal association. This is our last slide, almost. This is a verse taken from 10th canto, where Krishna is at Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse, and Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra are placed in a cart by the gopis. They're wanting to bring Krishna away from the Kurukshetra scene and back to Vrindavan. Rath Yatra, by the way. And the verse spoken by Krishna to the gopis, rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life, but by your good fortune you have developed special loving attitude toward me, by which you have obtained me. So that's our goal. It's not liberation. It's not just freedom from bondage and get out of here, it's a crazy place. What's next? The world's going crazy, let me out of here. It's not a liberationist, salvationist mood. Bhakti is being absorbed in the service of the person, and the name and the person are the same, and one who becomes so absorbed, they become situated in eternal life, but more than that is the name can deliver us to this position, obtaining Krishna. Well, our hankering may be far from that in the beginning, obtaining Krishna's personal association, but as the purification and spiritual progress takes place, that's the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Give us that eternal association of Krishna, obtaining his eternal loving service. So I finished before 9 o'clock. I didn't expect I would. So that's just an introduction to our topic. And the topic, all of the speakers and the activities are pursuing this same, receiving absorption, the benefit of the Yuga Dharma, the Nam Sankirtan process. So any comments or questions?
With chanting loud, I could see, I have seen that newer devotees, especially going out on Sankirtan, can take this to an extreme of becoming obnoxious, maybe.
Becoming?
Obnoxious.
A dream of becoming obnoxious?
Not
like they're hankering for that?
No. They become obnoxious.
Because?
They like chanting, like really loud in people's faces or things like that.
Okay, that's not so nice.
So, yeah, I'm wondering, it's not good to do that.
No, it's not good to be like that.
Not take it to the extreme.
The loudly doesn't mean obnoxious. Loudly means as opposed to silently. But the comment I made was during japa. You know, we don't want a japa period tomorrow morning where everyone is driving everybody out the front door into the, you know, into the street and down to the lake because it's too loud in here. Loud means specifically audible. So at least so you can hear in japa. And in kirtan, we may or may not, depending upon the laws of the city, have some amplification system. But the purpose is not like bowl people over. So they get purified whether they like it or not. It's audible. That's all. Now, kirtan can get very lively and enthusiastic and get louder and louder in a natural way, but not in a natural way, not in the other way. The benefit that we want is that people become attracted to Krishna. So the presentation of how we perform this activity that's meant to attract people to Krishna is important. Loudness isn't the objective. Attraction to Krishna is the objective. And so we arrange things accordingly. Yes? Back there.
I'm dealing with a person who is a big fan of Alvars, and then he has opposition to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for quite some time, I was looking for a link between Alvars and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Well, now you have it.
So I was thinking, what is a reference to quote for Alvars singing glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
You have it. Ask Shatsarupa, she'll give you a copy of the text. And see how that person responds. I mean, his name is Nam Alvar. And he wrote these, or not even wrote, he spoke these songs, and he's the author of these songs glorifying the congregational chanting with arms raised and with loud voice. Raving is the translation that's used. So that's what Mahaprabhu did. It doesn't name Mahaprabhu, it names the activity that he did. So if they like somebody else that does that, that's fine, no problem. Mahaprabhu did the same thing that was being spoken of. There's a, because of time, I'm not going to narrate the whole anecdotal event, but there's many. One of them, you find out from somebody that knows the details, so you can share this with your friend that doesn't like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or doesn't accept him or something like that. At the opening of the Tirupati temple, the chief priest of ISKCON Tirupati temple, the chief priest of Tirupati was invited as the guest of honor. And it was a several day, 3 day function or something like that. And he was to just make a cameo appearance on the first day and then, you know, Hari Bol, thank you for coming. He stayed for some time. And what he saw attracted him to come again the second day for some time. This is the Sankirtan, all these educated young men and women packed the temple room, dancing and singing and glorifying the name. And he came back the third day. And he was recorded on national television saying what this ISKCON, Hare Krishna movement has done far surpasses anything that we have done. Something to that effect. He didn't have to say that. But the congregational chanting of the holy name is part of the tradition, starting with Namalvar. And the scriptural references are abundant in Vishnu and Padma Purana. The 10 offenses, and you'll hear some other glorifications. They're from Padma Purana. Those are the two principal references of the Sri Sampradaya. So you may not accept the person, but accept the activity that the person is propagating, exemplifying, giving to others, and see how it's affecting the world. All over the world, in different languages, different cultures, different ways of life. This congregational chanting of the holy name is coming from this person that you don't accept. The Alvars didn't, anyway. Their scriptural reference is the basis of what the Alvars say. They don't say something in a vacuum. What scriptural reference? That Sri Vaishnavas accept, that the Alvars accept. So, you don't have to, be worried that the person doesn't accept because they have their reasons or whatever, prejudices or something or other. It's okay. Just hold the evidence up and let them. Don't provoke them into an argument where they start making offenses. Don't go that path. Just
Guru Maharaj, I have a couple questions. One regarding Sankirtan. Even if the chanter is not fully attentive, so there's some offenses while they're sharing their chanting, on the part of the listener or the receiver of the holy name, is that creating some knots in the heart? Or
well, it depends. If it depends. For example, if the person is a Mayavadi and they're chanting the name, yes. If the person has some weakness, no. The effect won't be the same as hearing from one who is a pure devotee. But specific to your question, second?
Guru Maharaj, I've understood that, with children, chanting is particularly an area where we don't want to have any kind of force. It's an area where one has to exercise a lot of sensitivity and gentleness and encouraging rather than imposing. And yet, adults find it tough to be attentive while chanting, what to speak of children who are restless by nature.
They sure are.
So,
but it's easier for them to be involved in kirtan than a lot of other things I've seen. Drama is another one. Prasadam is another one. Very attentive. Go ahead.
So, it's an offense to be inattentive. And, you know, we want to really protect our children from that kind of offense. And, you know, again, the knots in the heart. At the same time, you know, this is our core process, and we want to encourage that from the very beginning.
Yeah, so encourage it. With honey. Not with vinegar. Encourage it. And show by example, and, you know, if there's a willingness, then they'll follow because of encouragement and the sweetness. And example. That's how. We engage them in chanting, even they're distracted. We engage ourselves in chanting, even we're distracted. And we're, hopefully, striving to become free from distraction. And we encourage not only children, everybody, to chant free from distraction. But otherwise, kirtan. There's another question up front. Raise your hand, Uma.
Maharaj, I cannot remember the exact reference, though I'm leaning towards this book called Namacharya. But I think I've read some quotes that support the chanting, the silent chanting of the holy name.
It's a type. Okay. It's a type of chanting. And some persons support that type of chanting. For me, Namacharya is the best. It's a type of chanting. One gets benefit. I don't know the reference either. And I've heard such discussion.
Okay. The reason I was asking is I think
My
recollection is that it was
placed above.
It was placed above, and it was in the Namacharya book. So that's what I was a little, but maybe I should go look.
I'm with Haridas Thakur, thank you. Over here, we have a question in the back. Is breakfast ready? 9:15. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, my question is on the point of chanting the holy name, as we discussed in the slides, that when one chants loudly, not only the person who is chanting, but the person who is hearing also gets benefited. So yeah. My question is it recommended to chant personally when we are in a group of multiple devotees? Should one chant individually or in groups, or is that personal choice?
The last part of your question was, you spoke real fast, I couldn't catch it. So, are you saying when we're chanting japa in the morning, is it good idea, is it recommended that we sit together and chant together audibly?
Yes, or is it a personal choice?
Or even what?
Is it a personal choice, Maharaj, to chant?
Yeah, it's a personal choice. Sure. Both are beneficial. Especially, I'll say it again, especially when we have events like this. Many of the persons in this room don't have the opulence, the privilege of chanting japa together with others. While we have events like this, take the opportunity to chant with others, even though your preference may be, I like chanting alone. And you'll find it's a different experience. It's their strength. Many of the persons who, for example, when we have events like this, japa retreats or other type of events, many persons who have not been able to chant substantial number of rounds find it easy by not, you know, by chanting in a place where there's many others who are chanting. The energy is chanting energy, and they feel it, and it carries them. But it's an individual choice. Sometimes. Okay. Now we're looking for some more questions because breakfast isn't ready. Unless we could just end if there's no questions and we can mingle and associate with one another. Question?
Maharaj, somebody asked me this question and I didn't know the answer, so I'm asking here. So we usually hear the glories of the holy name and we hear the glories and the kindness of Krishna. But when we are chanting the holy name, we approach Radharani and say, can you please engage me in the service of Krishna? So somebody was asking, should we read the glories of Radharani in order to approach her? I don't know, how...
Should we hear the glories of Radharani in order to approach her, is the question?
Yeah.
Just read Prabhupada's books. And continue. And the glories of Radharani are revealed. Yeah. Read Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada in his books recommends reading this, reading that, read this, read that, on the recommendation of our founder Acharya, and sure. Okay.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I have a follow-up question from Sri Radhika Mataji's question.
Okay.
For the children as well as new people from Bhakti Vriksha, when they just start chanting, especially one round, two rounds is okay. When they have to increase the number of rounds, they find it being not fully attentive. So it's better I don't chant. So it kind of goes into that mood. How do we...
Kind of goes where? In the wrong direction?
Yeah.
That's what you said?
Yes.
Okay. So what to do? Well, I know persons that not just, you know, one round, two rounds, and then it starts going in the wrong direction. From time to time, it's, you know, we call it in japa retreat circles, the hills and the valleys, where one's attraction for chanting goes down and stays down. So there's different stages where the same phenomena is my point in response. Well, one person who's seated in the room here somewhere, I said recently that go back and revisit why. Why chant the holy name? Well, somebody said to chant the holy name. Great. Why did they say to chant the holy name? Well, the scripture says, well, why does the scripture say, you know, just go into the why? There's a gift. And when you understand the gift, then you're not asking why. You know why. And therefore you value you value the gift and the gift giver and the process involved in that giving of the gift and receiving of the gift. And it's, I can give an answer, you can give an answer, but it can just go in one ear and out the other ear unless it goes in the heart. Why? Why did it start one round? Why even one name? Why? Well, scripture says this and that. Okay. Go deeper and go deeper. You know, ask yourself why. And find a why that resonates and keep asking it. Go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then the what and the how becomes really easy. Because inside there's a strong answer to the why question. I want Krishna's association, not just a liberationist idea. Yes. Last question, and then we're going to break.
Prabhu, sorry, Guru Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna.
In regards to chanting the holy name, you often tell the story of Gopakumar,
yeah,
who, impelled by his desire to not be ungrateful to his spiritual master, did not wanted to realize the fullness of the gift. And I have only heard till the point that he reaches Goloka and he's in Krishna's association. Is there any further description of, you know, his relationship with the spiritual master and, you know, the chanting of the mantra, what happens once he reaches Goloka?
Detail, no. Principle, yes. And the principle is, the relationship is an eternal relationship. And the detail isn't explained. So, those with whom we have such significant relationships, like let's just say, some of Prabhupada's disciples who are no longer with us. Just take Bhaktitirtha Swami. He's no longer physically with us. But wherever he is, he's with Prabhupada. And wherever Prabhupada is, we could say Prabhupada's in Goloka. He's in Goloka. He could say he's off somewhere spreading the Sankirtan movement in some other part of the universe or some other universe. He's with Prabhupada. But that's because Prabhupada's in Goloka. Consciousness, he's in Goloka. You follow? Prabhupada said, quick, because of time. My disciples, you like to hear about my activities here, there, gave some list of things. Said, but you should know that I'm always with Krishna. So there's an external and there's the internal. The spreading of Krishna consciousness and delivering the message of Krishna, and then with Krishna. You should know, I'm always with Krishna. So wherever Prabhupada is, doing whatever he's doing, those who are attached to him are with him, doing whatever he's, assisting him, doing whatever he's doing. And the detail depends on, you know, will of Krishna and our eternal relationship with Krishna, however that, whatever shape that takes. The relationship is eternal. Spiritual relationships are not temporary, they're eternal. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
No, I was just finding food.